And it doesn't take away the loss or the hardship, but it lays it right beside one another. Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, we are to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And so we as Christians and ever maturing Christians are supposed to live in that tension anyway.
This is Four People with Bishop Rob Wright.
Good morning, everyone. This is Bishop Rob Wright of the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta, and today we have a fantastic treat. Today we get to be with Bishop Victor Atabafo of the Episcopal, of the Anglican Diocese of Cape Coast. Bishop Victor, welcome.
Thank you, my brother. Good to see you.
It is a delight to see you. We first came to Cape Coast, Ghana in West Africa in 2017.
Well, that's a long time,
and enjoyed your, it's been a while, and enjoyed your hospitality, your leadership, your fellowship, as along with your wife, Mother Superior Dorcas. So how are you doing? We've been in COVID. We've been separated by COVID, and our pilgrimages have ceased. So tell us a little bit about how you're doing and how the Diocese of Cape Coast is doing.
Well, thank you, my brother, and good morning to all faithful people of the Diocese of Atlanta and the good people of the United States of America. And all those listening to us, it's good to have me on your program. This is fantastic. You can see what technology can do.
Wonderful. Amen.
Yes, Bishop Rob, thank you once again. That's a good question. How are we doing because of the COVID? Yes, let me first and foremost say that by God's grace, we are surviving. We are, because the COVID, as you all know, has affected every aspect of our lives, spiritual, physical, numerical, financial, and our worship life is really affected. But thanks be to God. Despite how serious it is, credit I must give to God and to the president of Ghana for the interventions that he put through, which saw death, but not as people had anticipated. You know, there were pockets of, you know, serious cases, you know, red spots, especially in Accra and Kumasi. Within central region, there were about two hotspots, but not in Cape Coast. Everything so far is good. The government closed all churches. No, he placed ban on all church movements and activities. Coming together was not allowed for a while. But later on, they left the band. But we could only meet as some for 2 hours. So you can imagine a Ghanaian church meeting for 2 hours. It's like a morning prayer. But we managed.
Well, that is the difference between worship in Cape Coast in Ghana and worship in the United States and in Georgia. For us, 2 hours would be more than enough.
it was just like morning prayer, but we managed. You know, so we had to cut back a lot of things, you know, observing strictly the protocol, the COVID protocols, you know, but wearing our nose masks, you know, using hand sanitizers, you know, washing our hands, using social and physical distancing. And we managed to, you know, do as we expected to do. Interestingly, even though the COVID is not as it used to be, it has gone down a bit, people are still afraid. People are still afraid. You know, so church service numbers have gone down. But, you know, we are meeting now, still 2 hours. Sometimes 2.5 hours we can go through, you know, We're doing having two readings, one reading and then the gospel and then a homily, and then we move on straight to the celebration of the Eucharist. No. We're still doing meeting for Bible study, prayer meetings, and community engagement. The issue with me as the bishop is I have to do a lot of travel because it's difficult to get people come. You know, so I have to go to them. So even though we've not been meeting as we should, I've been doing a lot of travel. And it's quite good and enjoyable meeting, getting to meet Christian brothers and sisters, church members, you know, right at where they are. And it gives mission more fulfilling, you know, and then, you know, and I love doing that. I mean, throughout the COVID, the church has been doing a lot of social work, you know, giving food to folks, both church and non-church members. Sometimes it's cooked meals, sometimes a dry meal. And I still remember the general convention, no, the diocesan convention, what we did, you know, giving dry food. And that's what I've been doing. You know, just about 3 weeks, or let's say 1 month ago, 4 weeks, I had to go travel a lot. I left home 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, got back like 6 p.m. You know, just traveling, yes, meeting congregations, you know, getting them, you know, food and sanitizers and nose masks and all sorts of, you know, COVID issues, related issues, so that they can stay safe.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this, because people will only be able to hear you, but I have the benefit of being able to see your face, and there's a lot of energy in your face. And so, you know, what I've been saying here is that we have had loss, we have lost lives, and we have lost livelihoods, and we have been disoriented and dislocated in lots of ways. But, you know, right beside all of those hard things, we are seeing the Spirit at work. We are seeing innovations, and we are seeing how the Spirit is emerging. And so say a little bit about what you have learned about God. I mean, I know you're a scholar and a man of prayer and all those sorts of things, but these last 18 months have given us new opportunities to learn about the character and goodness of God. What have you learned about God? What have your people learned about God over these last 18 months?
Yeah, Bishop Rob, that's quite interesting. And for me, one word, if I may use just one word, and we've learned more about the sufficiency of God. The sufficiency of God. That, yes, God is God. And I think the COVID has made us to come to terms with the fact that God is still the sovereign God. God is still sovereign. That we've got to let God be God. Because the very day we can understand God, God will cease to be God.
That's
because
right.
We just don't know how this pandemic, you know, for us living here, all that we heard about was there's this virus and how devastating it is. That no matter how good and how careful you want to be, you cannot still predict. You cannot still say, hey, it's not going to happen. So it has really taught us to be more humble, to be more servant, to love God and to serve God. Because we just don't know. We just don't know.
Yes.
That Good Friday comes, and thank God, Easter is still Easter. Our God.
And thank God, Easter. If Good Friday is only one day, and Easter's on the way,
that's
as we
it,
like to say.
That's it. And it gives us the hope. And me going around talking to people, my whole message was to look up to the Easter hope. That yes, God is still reigning. And no matter how difficult situations, Let me tell you, my brother and fellow Christians, we've lost lives and livelihoods here as well. It might not be serious in terms of numbers, but we've lost a lot. And people have lost their properties, their livelihoods, and it's just amazing. You know, some people, we just have to bury people just like that. And as a church, I remember saying to the ministry people, within a matter of 12 hours, or yes, 12 hours, we had to bury two, a father and a daughter, in the space of 12 hours. And the father was a brother of a priest, one of our priests, you know, in the diocese. And the wife was in hospital on a ventilator, seriously. The husband died, the daughter died. And we had to bury them side by side. Just at the same time, a week later, one of our clergy, you know, got exposed to COVID. And it was very serious. All these things we had to go through, the number of calls will come. Bishop, what do we do? Bishop, what do we do? I said, let's stay calm. God is in control. It's not any... Don't blame yourself. I said, don't blame yourself. Don't think that God doesn't love you or God has abandoned you. Let God be God. And it has come to, as it were, increase our faith, really, and the joy of serving God. Because sometimes we've got to understand these tragedies. But the more we come to terms with it, the more we learn to trust God. And let God be God. And for me, that's one thing.
Yes.
This is Four People producer Easton Davis, thanking you for listening to Four People. Four People is a space of digital evangelism dedicated to sharing the good news and leadership of Jesus Christ. Who do you know that needs to hear today's episode? Who do you want to hear it? Subscribe to Four People and keep up with us on Instagram and Facebook at Bishop Rob Wright. And now back to Four People.
Your remarks remind me of in our lectionary, we just had a bit of a time with Job, and one of my the book of the Bible, Job, and one of my favorite parts of that book is when sort of Job gets to the end and his suffering is nearly done, and he has a private audience with God. And God says, stand up like a man and, give me some answers. Job, you want some answers? Well, God wants some answers for you. Tell me, what is the number, the total number of the clouds? And do you feed the lions? And does the sea monster crawl up in your lap like a lap dog? And all these sorts of things. The point of which is God is saying, I'm God, you're not. Yes, and I think that is the tough lesson that we've learned in COVID too, is that we've been humbled by how much we don't know, and we've been humbled by what we can't control. And for some people, and I really sympathize, but for some people, this has had a despair-inducing effect. But for other people, for some of us, it has pointed us to the fact that God is God, and that our role in this pandemic is to increase our faith in that God and partner with that God such that we can.
Sure. I think I agree with you 100%, my brother. I use this Job story in the height of the, crisis, in the peak that going around. Well, I told them, joking, I said, look here, Job summoned God to the high court. And I said, if you like, to the Supreme Court. And Job said, God, I demand an answer. Explain to me why Then God said, yes, Job, I can only do that if you are able to answer one, two questions that I put to you. Where were you when I created the world?
Right.
Then Job said, oh, I know. I can't, you know, compete with you. My brother, it's about the sovereignty of God. You know the Job story? When people used to think in the Old Testament that if somebody is blessed, it means he's a good man. It's only righteous people who are blessed. If you have any troubles or suffering, it means you might be a wicked person or evil person. But here God is saying, no, it doesn't work like that. Let God be God. And we still don't know. We still don't know. I mean, politicians and scientists and economists, they might be blaming each other. American is trying to blame China. China is blaming America. All this, yes, that the virus was manufactured or what in the labs and all sorts of stuff, theories, you know. And it could be conspiracy theories, but for us, well, we are still alive. And those who have died are not better off than us. And we are not better off than them. We don't know the answers. And that is more humbling, that we need to continue to submit, you know, to God.
It is amazingly humbling. And I can tell you one direction that I've seen that humility put on shoes and go out into the world. I've seen that humility in people who are serving others. Some people who we were previously too busy. We had good intentions, but many of us were very busy. But because COVID has slowed down the rhythm of life here, at least, and I'm sure many places, people found that they had some time, and then they found that they had not only time, but a heart to serve. And so I have been really encouraged by seeing people in their humility, in this not knowing, in this crisis, go out and take care of one another. I'm imagining you've seen that as well.
Definitely. Taking care of one another with a few or sometimes very scanty resources. This is the time that people and Christian people coming together, breaking the barriers of denominationalism. Who is who, but this is the tackle. Let's come together and do mission and supporting one another. In Cape Coast here, yes, on a number of occasions that you have the leaders of the ecumenical bodies coming together, you know, finding support in each other, praying together, worshiping together, pulling resources together, going together to do mission, you know, in the name of the church, in the name of Christ, not in the name of any particular denomination. So it has also taught us, not only part of humbling ourselves, it's taking us out of our comfort zones, that, hey, we need to think outside the box as one people, you know, with common faith, serving one Lord, that we belong to the same human community. It doesn't matter. And on a number of occasions, I've had opportunity of working together with Muslim brothers and sisters, with imams, working together with Pentecostals and charismatic leaders, working together with the Orthodox people. And it's so humbling. It's so humbling that, you know, little did I know, my brother, that during this COVID, coming out of it, even though not completely, I've been elected as the chairman of the local council of church, Cape Coast Metro. How
okay
together the ecumenical bodies for mission.
Yes.
For mission and ministry.
I think you're a perfect choice for that. I have to say, you know, one of the things I've been saying, Bishop Victor, here is that while God did not cause COVID, God can use COVID. And you are saying exactly that denominations are and other faith communities in some ways are being forced together we're seeing that we've got to take care of each other, and denominationalism, you know, sort of pales in comparison to the urgencies on the ground. So I'm so excited to hear that you're doing that. Let me say also that for people who don't know you, you are a leader in the Anglican Church, you know, internationally. You have contributed to conversations with groups at Lambeth, and you have done scholarship and speaking around the global Anglican Communion. And so I wonder as we celebrate what God is doing now in our midst, I wonder, you know, what do you see out in front of us as an Anglican church, and even as a church in Cape Coast? What's out front? How is this COVID going to forever change who we are and how we do what we do?
Yes, that's quite, you know, very interesting but difficult question. We're still struggling. We're still struggling as a communion. And if COVID has come, not God using it to punish us, but God using, you know, for lack of a better word, using it for us to experience God and love God and get to know people and work with people. If COVID, you know, I mean, let's take, you know, as I always say to people talking about differences, you know, in lifestyles, in religious commitments and affiliations and all the rest. And you know, one word that always Anglicans want to talk about is learn to tolerate one another. Okay, now, but I want to go further and say, in the light of all our experiences, we need to celebrate our life together and not just to tolerate. And for me, I'm hoping, as part of one of the conveners of the bishop's consultations, preparing for Lambeth, I want to go to Lambeth. I want to see the future of Anglican Communion celebrating our common humanity, and not just tolerating. And as I say to people, I don't want to go to Lambeth, if there should be any, to tolerate one another. I want to go there to celebrate our one another and our common humanity, you know, regardless of race, sex, or whatever it is. So COVID, my brother, has taught us a lot of lessons that no man, no woman, no person is an island. We belong to each other. We belong to each other. And on a number of occasions that my Muslim brothers and sisters could call me, could come to my office, we can sit down and talk. I can put them in my car. We can drive, you know, to the hospitals to visit people, have discussions and long conversations with medical personnel, if we can travel outside Cape Coast, not as an Anglican bishop, but as a member of Christian body, as a member of the community, serving God's people. That was a joy. And for me, that was a true mission. So if for nothing at all, for me as a leader of a church, of a diocese here, COVID has humbled me and has taught me to deal with people in a more positive manner.
Yes. Yep. Yes. It is amazing, isn't it, that it has produced new kindnesses in us, and new suppleness and receptivity to one another. Some, it is true, have been hardened by all of this, by the loss and by the fear. But thank God we are seeing some of us who are being more kind to ourselves and to one another. I think one of the revelations that has come to me is that I was, and you know how this goes with our schedules as bishops, we can be unkind to ourselves sometimes in our scheduled keeping, but But this has forced on me, I would say, a gentler rhythm of life. And it's in the gentler rhythm of life I've been able to enjoy. You talk about celebrating, enjoying people and enjoying silence and enjoying nature and enjoying the rhythm. And I just thank God for that, I think. I know. I thank God for that. And it doesn't take away the loss or the hardship, but it lays it right beside one another. The Apostle Paul said, we are to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And so we as Christians and ever maturing Christians are supposed to live in that tension anyway.
You're right. Yes, I agree with you, and I agree with Paul that part of our commitment and part of our ministry, yes, is to enjoy with those who enjoy, weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn. And I always say to my, the clergy here, this is not a time to be asking questions. Why did it happen? Where did you go? This is a moment. It's a crisis moment. It's a Kairos moment. This is the time we need to act more than just to talk. We need to walk the talk. Our message and our mission statement, love God, love people, love God, love God's people. We need to walk the talk. This is the time that God is really demanding from us. And I say, earlier, we expect God to heal people, God to comfort us, God to come to our rescue, and God can only do that through God's people, through us. And this is the time that we have to. So COVID, my brother, it has not been easy, and it's still not easy, but thank God we have a God who cares and who loves.
Well, amen. And I tell you, just even this conversation is an encouragement to me. Bishop Victor, I'm always glad to connect with you. I do hope that you will send our love and greetings to the people of the Anglican Diocese of Cape Coast. As soon as we are able to travel, it is our turn to come to you. You were with us last. It will be our delight to come to you and see what God is doing in your space. So thank you so much for being with us. God bless you, and we'll see you again.
God bless you, my brother, and thank you very much. It's good to have you on your program. And let me again bring greetings from us to all of you and to ask you that come Sunday, we're in the 48th anniversary of this diocese, and we couldn't think of any better way to celebrate our 48th anniversary than to go into mission. So we're going to one area, we're going to create one ice dictionary, carve it from Winneba on your way to Accra. There's a vast place that is more or less, trying to enter a virgin space. They're going to create a missionary ice dictionary, training more lay pastors to do more evangelism and more mission. And I say, the only way I can thank God for the life of this diocese in this 40 years is to launch a mission program. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So keep us in our prayers as we do the same.
Yes.
And our love and best wishes
thank
to everyone.
Thank you very much. God bless you. And we wish you well on your mission.